Today's scripture comes from John 3, 10, 17. John 3, verses 10 through 17. Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen. And do you not receive or witness? If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe me, how will you believe me if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who has come down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God, who so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved.
Amen. Thank you. Even our youngest Bible students can quote it. Some sports fanatics will even write it on a cardboard placard and show it at a sporting event. We all know it. We're familiar with it. It's listed on our favorite verses of Scripture. Short enough to write on a single index card. Easy enough to memorize, we can memorize it in just a short setting. It begins with God and it ends with life, and it encourages us to do the same. More than any other verse in the entire Bible, it affects our lives. Brethren, I'm not ashamed to say I love John 3:16. And if I ask for a show of hands, every hand would raise, because even our youngest students, even our oldest members, know and can remember John 3:16. It shares with us God's abiding love and explains to us our wonderful need for him as our Father. Now you remember it in your mind as we read it today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Brethren, that verse is the foundation of the Christian faith. It is mine and it is yours. And it is an amazing verse, spoken by Jesus, given by God, for us to relate to on every level of life. It was given to us, though we are undeserved. It was given to us in an unconditional way, unwavering love for the Father. As someone said, it's the North Star to the entire Bible. And if we live John 3:16, please listen. If we live John 3:16, we'll find the way to go to the Father. In fact, that's what John records in John chapter 14. Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. John 3:16 brings hope to the hopeless. It brings sunlight to those who are lost in darkness. It brings guidance to the lost. It brings nourishment to the starving and refreshment to the thirsty. And let me say this as well. If you know nothing about the Bible at all, begin with John 3:16. And if you know everything about the Bible, refer to John 3:16 very often. But let's begin our study of John 3:16 by setting the stage. Maybe your Bibles are open now to John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, we're introduced to a Pharisee. And it's very important that we remember that Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the people. And the Pharisees there in Jesus' day almost unanimously disliked Jesus. They saw him as competition to their power and their prestige and their prominence. In fact, they had already discussed the possibility of moving him out of the way. Here was Nicodemus,
a Pharisee, ruler of the people, that must have heard Jesus speak or must have heard about Jesus, because he comes to Jesus and finds him, though he came to him in secret. Because no doubt he would have gotten in trouble with the other Pharisees had he acknowledged that he wanted to become a disciple of Jesus. Now, admittedly, we don't really know what was on Nicodemus's mind to begin with. We think and we really believe he was sincere in all of this, but we certainly know what was on Jesus's mind: salvation. Brethren, salvation is what it's all about. I hope I remember to say that four, maybe even five more times in this lesson. Salvation is what it's all about. It doesn't matter if we earn enough money to build 1,000 castles. It doesn't matter if we get a new car to drive every day. It doesn't matter if we write 100 books. Or as Jesus says, if we gain the wealth of the whole world, if we don't find salvation, if we don't live John 3:16, it's not worth living. In fact, I will assure you, it is not worth living. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and he gives a very complimentary statement. He says, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "we know that no one could do the things that you do except God be with him." And immediately Jesus takes over. There's no time for small talk. Brethren, I think too many times you and I get caught up in small talk. Jesus wanted to talk about salvation. He said, "Except a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom of heaven." And Nicodemus's simple complimentary statement gave Jesus the opportunity to conclude a context of words that ends with John 3:16 and John 3:17. Let's see what Jesus says. "Okay, we know you're from God. We know Jesus is at least a prophet, because no one can speak like him, as the scribe said. No one can do these miracles, otherwise God would not be with him." And Jesus said, we've got to live his teaching. That's what belief is. We have to live our teaching. Barry, could you help Rhonda and Alice, please? We'll pause for just a moment. Erlene is not feeling well. Let's get our hearts together and have a brief prayer. Our Father, we do not know anything about Erlene's not feeling well. We hope it's very simple. Whatever the case may be, Father, we know these good brothers and sisters will take care of her physically, and we know that you will take care of her as well. Be with us, Father. Be with her. In Jesus' name we always pray. Amen. Small talk. Many times we get caught up in small talk. But remember, on one occasion, the Apostle Paul said, "For I'm determined not to know anything among you, not to give in to any of this small talk. I want to teach you, and I want to live Jesus Christ and him crucified." Brethren, salvation is what it's all about. We can live our life. We can live to be 100, 500, 5,000 years old, and if we miss salvation, it's just not worth it. Now, with very little fanfare, Jesus gives the very power of the gospel message. God loves us. God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us. And all we have to do is believe. We'll talk about that third point even more in just a moment. Brethren, I'm not going to go into any great detail. Those of you who know me realize I've had tragedy in my life. I know what it's like to lose a son. God purposely sent Jesus to us because of His love for us. That means even more to us who have children, and even more to us who have prayed for their children, and even more to us who expect to have grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We want them to know that salvation is what it is all about. Now, what if we lived in a world that there was no God? And I'm sure most of you are thinking, we live in a world where there is no God. No, we don't. God loves us. But if we lived in a world where there is no God, we would just be a planet full of people hurtling through space with no hope, with no future, with nothing to live for, just the grave to look forward to. But God does love us. Salvation is what it is all about. We see God's love for us in every sunrise. We see it in every sunset. We see God's love for us in every raindrop, and especially in every rainbow. We see it in every blade of grass. We see it in every lovely flower. We see it every time a baby is born. We see it in every child's smiling face. God does love us. Jesus wanted to talk to Nicodemus about salvation because salvation is what it is all about. And brethren, the reason I want to preach this lesson today, and the reason I am trying to be so emphatic in this lesson today, is because that is the message that our world is not hearing. They're more interested in Donald Trump's hair and Hillary's charities. They need to know that God loves them. God loves Lynn, and God loves Bo, and God loves my mother, and God loves me. And He sent Jesus to die for us. That's the message they have to hear. It's not the small talk that gets people to heaven. It's believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, believing that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that there is no other way to get to heaven except by Him. It's not the color of our books. It's not the color of our carpets. It's the color of our heart. It needs to bleed red with the blood of Jesus Christ. Salvation is what it's all about. And that's the message we need to get to the world. The Bible shows Paul saying, "For I am persuaded." There was no doubt in his mind. "I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." And that word love that Paul uses there is the word agape. God's love is agape. He seeks what's best for us. And He gave us the formula to follow, and we can spend an eternity with Him. You know, brethren, I can't think of another religion in the world where deity has acknowledged they want to spend eternity with us. It certainly was not the religion of the ancient Egyptians. Only Pharaoh and his household could go into the afterlife. No one else could. It's certainly not the religion of Mount Olympus. I can't find where Zeus or anyone wanted to have a blending with humanity. But God wants to spend eternity with us so much, He let His only begotten Son die on the cross. Can you begin to imagine how difficult that was for Him? And when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He was speaking the truth. Because had that been our son, we would have done anything necessary to get him down from that cross. Had that been our child, we would have done anything. But Jesus had to die, and God had to let Him die. Now, ask me why? I don't know. It's beyond my comprehension. But He had to do that to save us, and salvation is what it is all about. you know, I can tell you I love you. But unless I show I love you, the love is really not realized. Love has to be demonstrated. I hate to use the word proven, but it has to be proven. It's easy to say it. It's difficult sometimes to do it. Well, actually, I think it's easy to do also. But that's again what Paul was talking about when he said God commended his love for us. He demonstrated his love for us. He proved his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, we were still lost in our sins, Jesus came and died for us. That again is the word agape. Agape is the definition of Jesus dying on the cross. Because of our sin, we had been separated from God. Only Jesus' blood could get us back together. It was a great divide between us and God. And God built a bridge out of an old rugged cross. And we can have the same fellowship with him today that Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. When God would come and they would communicate one-on-one. We can talk to God because he is our heavenly Father. And he wants us to be saved, brethren. And he wants the world to be saved, brethren. Salvation is what it is all about. The cross is the undeniable proof of how much God loves us. And there is only one factor. Now listen closely. There is only one factor that must be included in salvation. Just one. And that is belief. He that believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, salvation is also unique to the Christian faith. Under Judaism, it has nothing to do with Jesus. They believe Jesus was a Jew, but not a Savior. It's based on their merit. They earn their merit in the deeds that they do. The Old Testament is a testament of works. Christianity is a religion of love based on faithful works. But for the Jew, they'll be ushered into heaven if they have proven in this life they've done everything that is necessary. Under Buddhism, though I do not even remember the terminology, there are these four steps, and then there's the eightfold teaching of Buddha, and you have to plug into this enormous fellowship, this enormous formula to follow for that. Islam, again, is based on works. You have to prove yourself, the five pillars of faith, but not Christianity. It is based exclusively on our belief. Now, God defines belief differently, however, than a lot of people do. God defines belief differently than a lot of us do. Now, this is important. If you have your testimony or your phone or your laptop, turn to John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. Most important verse in our lesson today. Regardless of the translation you are reading, regardless of the translation, this is what it's going to say. To believe means you have to accept him. You have to accept Jesus. That is the requirement of belief, that you accept Jesus. Well, since Jesus said, the word that I have spoken unto you, the same will judge you in the last day, then Jesus' teaching is to accept him means that we have to accept his teaching. Not only accept his teaching, but apply his teaching to our lives. That's what Paul was talking about. That's what gives us the power to be the sons of God or the children of God. And where is this power? It's in one place. The gospel. What is the gospel? The good news that Jesus has secured our salvation. Salvation is what it's all about. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of that good news that Jesus has secured my salvation. In fact, he told the Romans, he said, it, the gospel, is God's power to save. To everyone, here it is again, that believes. Not believes the way man defines it, but believes the way God defines it. Accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, applying his teaching to our lives.
Now, we're going to end this lesson here. I'm going to make a few more points, but we're going to end this lesson here. We're not going to have the conclusion next Sunday morning. We're not going to have part two next Sunday morning, but we're going to build on this sermon next Sunday morning. So I certainly hope that you will be here for that. But let's remind ourselves of what we've already said. You know, even our youngest Bible students can recite John 3:16. Even people who have no real understanding of the importance of John 3:16 will write it on a placard and they will show it on the television set. It's short enough you could write in big letters and get it all on one index card. Simple enough that I would imagine every one of us here today can recite it or come very, very close to it. But in order to go to heaven, and brethren, we need to want to go to heaven. In order to go to heaven, we don't have to memorize John 3:16. We don't have to quote John 3:16. We have to live John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Do you believe what the Bible says? Then you know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And here's what Jesus says. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again, born of the water and of the Spirit. And Nicodemus said, I'm a grown man. How can I enter into my mother's tummy again and be born again? Jesus was not talking physical birth, but spiritual birth. He said, you must become a new creature. You must become a baby in him. And elsewhere, Jesus said, you've got to be baptized. Peter, remembering the teaching of Jesus in Acts chapter 2 to those penitent Jews, said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. That's what washes your sins away. And since we're talking about Peter, let's conclude with Peter's statement. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. We have to live John 3:16. We have to accept that he is the only way to get us to heaven. But we have to give ourselves to him. We're in the army of the Lord, but it is a voluntary army. We need to give ourselves to him, and we do that by responding to his invitation. Jesus said, you come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If you need to respond today to the Lord, Ken will meet you up here. If you need to respond, do so as we sing number 509. Shall we stand as we sing?